You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast. It is the USG reaction show. I don't know how long we want to spend on this. Probably not too long, because we want to get to the obviously the next podcast, which is going to be the big one, the Man United one. But yeah, we've got to speak about it. It was at USG 2, Liverpool 1. Liverpool's very, very young side didn't manage to perform that well. I didn't think over the whole game, really, which is a bit disappointing in some aspects. But before we get into it properly, I'm Mick, of course. I'm joined by Christian, of course. Christian, how's the illness / whiskey and nasal spray going on? Is that all working for you?
Yeah, I'm all good. Maybe my voice sounds a little bit different than people who are listening are used to, but you know, it's just I guess my nose is a little bit blocked, so I had some nasal spray and stuff. But I'm doing my medication, follow my mum's advice to have some whiskey. So
any excuse to have a whiskey.
Exactly. But you know, it's nice. I talked to my mom before, just like, because she's coming for Christmas. We're talking about Christmas presents for the kids, and then she heard on my voice like, oh, are you coming down with a cold? And I said, I'm fine, I don't have any fever or anything, it's just my nose and stuff. So, but I'm not working in the office, and hopefully I can go to the Christmas party tomorrow, blah blah. And she was like, yeah, but you know, before you go to bed, have some whiskey. And I was like, yeah, that's my mom. That, so yeah, I'm having some whiskey and watched the game. And yeah, I think the whiskey, I prefer that one compared to the game.
Definitely today. And like I said, it was a young Liverpool side, to be fair. Mike Reid, of course, I keep stealing your tweets, Mike. I'm going to keep doing it. he posted a tweet saying the average age of, with an average age of 22 years and 156 days, this is the Liverpool's youngest ever starting 11 named for the European match. So as you could expect, it wasn't going to be all guns blazing, Liverpool going out for a win. It was going to be give some players some minutes in the legs, like Endo, the likes of Konate, Jones, Gakpo, I guess, and then litter them in with the youngsters, the likes of Bradley and Kwanzaa's in that bracket still. Elliot still, I guess, still in that bracket. But the main ones were Bradley, Chambers, Gordon, and Doku, who are all very, very young. I mean, amazing to see Kay Gordon back in the squad after, I think his last game was January 2022. So he's had a long road back, and I feel like I'm catching your sore throat just as I'm speaking over the airwaves. it's contagious, lad. But yeah, the youngsters, was a good opportunity for them. And yeah, we just didn't really get going. I mean, like, just we'll go through it pretty quickly because there's not a load to talk about really. But like that's the first half, the 21st minute, Kelleher makes a good save. Then we go 1-0 down. It's just just when I guess similar to what the first team's been doing recently, just not quick enough with the ball, just not quick enough to release the ball. And when you're getting pressured high, like every team knows now, if you press Liverpool high and with aggression, you might win the ball back and you can break with speed. So that's what the plan was. And against the Liverpool side that was very young, of course, that's going to work even more. So yeah, I mean, the Kelleher save on the 21st minute, then going 1-0 down 31st minute, you're like, all right then, it is disappointing, but you're like, we can hopefully get back in it, and then we might as well go straight to our goal, because it was a great strike on the 39th minute by Jarrell Kwanzaa, and I was made up, because of course when you think back to the Toulouse game early in November, he scores what I still consider a legitimate equaliser late on, and it gets ruled off, and then the final whistle goes and it's all over, and his first goal's been, he's been deprived of it, but today he got it. And I think I was just made up for him more than anything, like, because I think he performed well in the game, and he's been performing well in the first team as well, considering he's only been here for 2 minutes and he's only played a handful of games. But I think it was a lovely strike though, weren't it? Proper, like, off the corner and just absolutely well with it.
Yeah, a little bit sloppy defending from them, to be honest. But, you know, I don't want to take anything from Kwanzaa scoring, because it's a great finish from that position anyway. So great goal, and I'm happy for him. And, you know, I just want to go back to when you talk about the starting 11. It's great to see Gordon back, obviously, because, you know, when he came to the club, he was a hot prospect from Derby, wasn't it? And we bought him, and we could see straight away that he was, you know, a proper talent. He scored in one of the cups, you know, he was really good, and then he had his injury problems. Now coming back, and you know, I think that he had moments in the game where obviously he was fouled quite a lot. So, you know, obviously he's a player that is hard to play against. So hopefully he can put that, you know, all the injuries behind him now and go forward and continue to develop and be some player for us going forward as well. So I was happy for him. And I know that we had a conversation over WhatsApp, you and me. When you look at it, you know, you expect something from the kids, you know, some players to stand out, like Ben Doak and others. He didn't have a good game, I think. But, you know, when there's so many new players on the pitch that are not used to play together, you will have difficulties, because we also said, you know, Curtis Jones and Harvey Elliott didn't look that good. But it's hard for players that are used to play in a team where there's great world-class players and they know exactly what they are doing, and that's who they play with week in and week out. And then suddenly there's so many new faces and players, even though they train together, it's a different thing playing together as a team collectively. So, you know, you expect things and you want things from the youngsters, but at the same time, you have to be, you know, a little bit logical about it and sit back and think like, well, will not look perfect because they are not used to play each other and play with each other that much. But, you know, I'm happy that they got the chance to play and they got minutes in the legs and they got the experience to play away in the Europa League. And not many would come away with, you know, great performances. But I think Kwanzaa was one of them, even not just because he scored. It's actually because I think he looks so calm and nice with the ball. Like everything he does, like when he passes it or covering space or, you know, going more deep to cover up so we know that we don't explode ourselves and stuff. I really like him. I think he's going to be brilliant for us going forward if he continues to develop like this. But yeah, I thought when we scored the goal that we were actually going to, you know, work ourselves into the game and even turn it around, to be honest, because we did have, you know, most of the ball and the possession. But yeah, I think the unexperienced part of it kind of took it away from us a bit.
Yeah, I think just on Kwanzaa, I think like the goal's boss, but like when you look at, he's only played 12 games for us, which is mad. Like he played in the last Premier League game and he's playing in this one. It's like he is, because of course the injury to Matip, he has now been thrust a little bit more into the limelight, I guess, a little bit more than he would have. But I think whenever I've seen him, he looks quality. He really.
I just love how he comes from nowhere. Like it's one of them you never really heard of before. Like I haven't, to be honest. Maybe you or people in Liverpool who follow the youngsters more than I do. I used to do it more before I had kids myself and stuff, because you don't have time to watch it all. But I used to watch a few games and stuff, but you know, like 10 years ago or something. And especially when I lived in England, I had all the, you know, channels to sometimes follow the youth teams and stuff. But it felt like he came from nowhere, really. And I kind of liked that because everyone was talking about, and we talked about it on this show, we're going to buy a central defender. And then he just steps up from nowhere and just, you know, it's one of them who's like 20 years old, boss. You know, we don't really have to stress. We have someone in our own ranks that can do the job. Brilliant.
Exactly. That's the main thing. Like Klopp always says, and he doesn't want to block pathways and all that. So if someone can come in and do a job like he's been doing, then yeah, it's boss. And yeah, the goal was good, getting back to 1-1. But then it's concede pretty much like not long after that. And I think, like, let's be honest, it doesn't really really matter the game that much because we were top of the group, whatever. Like, the kids are out there, it's just an experience for the kids, really, and a sprinkling of experience to try and help them along. But like, I think Keller would probably be a little bit disappointed with that one, because it's his near post, and it's a little bit, he's pedaling backwards towards his goal. So, and I saw in the replay, he turns around to see where his post is, because obviously to get his bearings to know where he is. But I just don't think he's, because the shot doesn't seem that powerful, really. It's
too easy.
It's in the corner a little bit, I guess, but it's going so slowly, and it's like, and then he's made some other good saves in the game, and he's done well in other parts. So I feel like when we're talking about these other players who are like the Quantas and whatever and the Joneses and that, like Keller is 25, but in terms of how many games he's actually played, it's not really that much. And I think goalies mature at a later age as well. So I think you've got to factor that in as well, that the fact that he's all these different aspects he's got to face. But I feel like just as a goalkeeping and as a goalkeeping situation, I think he knows he's good enough to have saved that one. But I mean, what's your thoughts on it? Doesn't really matter that much. This isn't a nice feeling. We don't have to worry about it, but it was a poor goal to concede from our point of view.
Yeah, I think, you know, I wrote that as well to you or in the group chat that, you know, I think he should do better in that moment. But again, you know, he's a second choice goalkeeper after Alisson, who's the best in the world. And we know that, and we said it so many times. It's not an easy task. And even though you expect more, this kind of game, it doesn't matter. But I think, and I know that he will be disappointed with that performance, with that goal, to concede that, because, you know, I think it's a little bit too easy. It's too sloppy. It looks a little bit, you know, I can't be bothered kind of feeling. You know, you want someone who's a little bit more on his toes and actually, you know, reacting a little bit quicker. But, you know, I've seen people on Twitter say, you know, oh, we need a better second goalkeeper and stuff. But, you know, it's so hard to find someone that it's actually all right sitting on the bench, knowing that he's not going to play any game except for some cup games or if Alisson is injured, and to be all right with that when you're in that kind of age. And at the moment, Keller is all right with that. He might move on in the summer, who knows, because, you know, I guess he want to play more, and he's got the skills and quality to play, you know, in a team and do it week in and week out. But at the moment, he's ours, and, you know, we just need to accept that, you know, there's only one Alisson. That's the thing. That's the fact. And instead of giving him shit on Twitter, then, you know, support him. You know, I criticize him now because I say, you know, he should have done better. But I would never say, you know, oh, shit, he needs to go or whatever. Because I understand that it's almost an impossible task to replace Alisson, because he is so much higher in levels and qualities. And he's better than anyone in the world. So, you know, we just have to, you know, bear in mind that he's doing okay. He's not that bad. He can do better, obviously. But, you know, it's very hard to find second-choice goalkeepers out there with the quality that, and they are okay to sit on the bench. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, in an ideal world, you'd have two Alissons, wouldn't you? You'd clone.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You'd clone a beautiful bastard, and you'd say, right, Ali number two, you sit there, lad, in case Ali number one goes down. But, yeah, he's still, whether this summer he leaves or whatever, but, like, this is, like, when Alisson got injured and we were all like, shit, he's going to be out for, I don't know, we all expected it to be maybe a rush for him to get back to United for the United game or for the West Ham game. People were like, oh, he might not make the United game, he might make the West Ham game, but if he doesn't make that, hopefully he makes the Arsenal game. People are thinking of all these scenarios in their head there. And then Keller didn't have, I guess, there was a game when he didn't have too good of an experience. And then he's had, I guess it's just one of them. Like, he has some good games, he has some bad games. It just comes with the territory of being a number two goalie, I guess. But in terms of like how good he is, he's still quality, still a very good goalie. And yeah, so half time comes, and yeah, you're like, could get back in the game here, but at that point I wasn't that interested anyway. It's hard to get yourself up for a game like this, but you're like, well, if we can, and then I was like, we could bring some people off the bench, and I was like, well, don't really want to do that, but we did that anyway. We brought on Gomez for Konaté and Gravenberch on for Endo, so it was, I guess, like for like. We still kept the youngsters out there for a bit longer as well, and then we brought off Chambers for Scanlon. And we brought Nunes on for Doak, and you instantly said to me, please, Darwin, just don't get fucking injured. And I was like, yeah, exactly. Please don't let that happen. And yeah, the rest of the game, like, they had a few good chances. They had one ruled out. But we were just lacking a little, like, as you can expect, considering the lineup we had and how young it was and whatever, and it was just players not used to playing with each other and whatever else. It's just different setups and all that different shit. But I feel like the last 10 minutes we started to, because obviously when they know it's 2-1, they needed to win to get into the Conference League, so they were fully up for it, 150%, first team up for it. Not at their ground, but at, like, it was Anderlecht's ground, wasn't it? So all their fans are in there. They're up for it. They know they need to win. The players know they need to win. So it was a bit of a cup tie, and we didn't really have the energy or the impetus to go, well, we want to get back into this. I mean, if we did, it would have been good. But we had a few chances, I guess, towards the end, but it just kind of petered out in the end. And it was just one of them. It's just one of them games where you're like, nice to see the youngsters. The youngsters could have done better. I think that was clear to anyone. But the main thing, and what did happen, is no one got injured. That was the main thing, because people were losing their minds when they saw that lineup, and they were like, why is Konaté there? Why is Jones there? Why is Gakpo there? And I was like, you know what? I understand. I would have loved it if we just would have went McConnell and, like, you know, like, just a full youngster squad. But then that probably wouldn't have been fair, because it, like, they're a decent side. I think you can see that. It would have been probably 4-5-0 or whatever if that would have happened. So it wouldn't have been fair, because it would have been counterproductive to their confidence and their, like, momentum trying to get better as footy players. But I can get on board with just losing 2-1, and just, like, now we can just say bye bye Europa League till the 7th of March, whatever it is, and just focus on the rest of the season. Now we've got like 3 months to forget about that and just crack on with these games that are coming up.
Yeah, and, you know, I totally agree with you. I have nothing to add, but...
No comments.
But, you know, that's the thing. Like, this game was more about just, you know, getting the youngsters, getting some minutes, trying to win. Obviously, you always want to win, but, you know, at this point when we don't, it doesn't really matter. You know, I think people are... We're so used to winning now with the great team that we have, even though, you know, we've got the new midfield and stuff. Like, as soon as we lose, I understand the feeling. Like, you still want to have the record. You still want to keep on winning. You want the youngsters to do better, to perform better. And you would love, like, a goal for Ben Doak, for example. You would have loved, like, you know, even Gordon to have maybe a little bit more chance and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just one of them. He's been out for ages. Ben Doak has been injured. Harvey Elliott and Curtis Jones obviously playing with the first team, like I said, not finding the ways in this team. It's hard when you're not used to playing with them. It's just one of them where you have to see it out and hope to get the result. Obviously, now they were up for it. They were fighting because, like you said, they were fighting for a Conference League spot. And it's not an experienced team in that way. You know, Luke Chambers and Conor Bradley, and then you had Scanlon and McConnell coming on. You know, at least we got to see the youngsters, and, you know, some of them have great talent. You know, all of them won't make it in Liverpool. They might just be sold on to other teams in a couple of years. But they're still, you know, with Klopp, he gives them chances, he gives them times in these kind of moments. And the, like you said, the most important thing is no one got injured, and we're looking ahead, you know, for Sunday, because that's the big game, and that's where we're going to put all the fucking, you know, guns out, the ones that we always see, you know, every weekend with, you know. So I guess when people said, away is Konate and stuff, but you still need some experience, and he needs a bit of minutes as well because he didn't play the last time, and he's been out, and he needs to, you know, get into rhythm. So I understand there's a balance, and you know, looking at it now, we lost 2-1. Yes, it's not the end of the world. We threw, like you said, we can drop Europa League until March. Now we're just looking ahead for Sunday, and that's the big game anyway. So, you know, this game is just one of them. Forget about it and move on.
Well, I reckon this might be the shortest pod ever. I think that's probably right for how the game was set up. We didn't have to win. There was youngsters in there. We didn't perform amazingly well. That I expected a better level, but we didn't quite get there. But so we can leave it there because we need to go and do the Man United preview show, which I'm sure everyone is, as we're getting closer and closer to it. Obviously, it's Friday tomorrow. It's going to be... It's just getting ramped up even more, and it's just getting exciting. Of course, these games are always massive, and if we can go and batter them, it's the season's even better. So yeah, we shall leave it there. Thanks for listening. If you've stuck with us this far for a USG game where we got beat, then fair play. You are a Copway podcast legend officially. So thanks for listening, and thanks to Christian as always for jumping on. And we'll see you in the next one on the Man United preview show. See you on a bit. Nice one.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Kopai Podcast.
Podcast Network.